Hi, Sophie.
Hi.
Very thrilled to speak with you about your work on Saltburn. I gotta tell you.
Thank you very much.
Without your work with the clothing, with the design, with the stylization and the design, Saltburn would not be what it is. This is truly a film that is dependent upon the clothing that these characters are wearing in terms of defining them, setting the tone, the mood, and every piece you have here is perfection.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
This is very different than your work on Bridgerton, obviously. I'm curious where you even start with a film like this, because we have definite social stratas in place here, which sets up, you know, the wanting, yearning of Oliver. He wants to be Felix and transform into Felix. So you have that transformational journey to carry out in clothing, which you do beautifully. But then we also have the family and Elspeth and Sir James and the upper crust, what money can buy you and how you dress and look. And it's so specific. I'm curious where you even begin with a project like this.
I very much, Emerald and I always said to one another, this is very much a period drama. You know, we're looking at 16 years ago, but I approached it like I would any project that I was, you know, that was period. And looking at social statuses within the UK, being able to go back into social media, also editorials like Vogue, you know, and Vanity Fair and Tatler, and look at who was the it crowd, you know, being able to gather information about social status within this time period, looking at popular musicians, popular artists, actors of the time, and really kind of gather what fashion trends there were during the 2000s, to be able to put into each character really and symbolize who they are.
And you do that so well. And I'm curious, I see a lot of Ralph Lauren polo shirts with Felix and others. For me, that's almost a throwback to the 80s with the collars being upturned. As with everything, fashion, it comes around in 20-year cycles or something. So I love seeing that.
It really does. Sorry, carry on.
You're absolutely right. It really does. I'm seeing things here. Bootcut jeans, these were all things in the late 70s and morphing into the 80s. And so it's about every 20 years. And I think that you captured 2006 just perfectly.
Yeah, when I approach costume design, I really, you know, what I love about clothing is it's so tribal. And when looking at Felix's character and the university students, you know, I very much looked at Prince Harry and Prince William of that period because they were of the age, you know, similar age to my characters. Mm-hmm. So I was being able to look at, you know, the university days of William, of Kate, and, you know, the taxi images of them, you know, coming out of clubs in Mayfair, etc. So I was able to, you know, take photographs like I, you know, take influence from photographs like I would if I was, you know, doing a period drama from, you know, the 1930s. You know, it was very much being influenced by society of that time. And also I wanted to be able to take original references. I was using Facebook a lot as references. It was so popular at the time, and in England, as I would imagine, and very much across the world, it was so new that everyone was putting every photograph up. So it was a great advantage to have all these university photographs, which I was able to pitch for my interview. And I really love the devil in the detail with costume and really getting to grips with characters. So taking elements of the Livestrong band, which was such a popular, you know, accessory of that time, and, you know, all the, you know, having all the boys wearing them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm curious, because I'm seeing some Valentino. I'm seeing some Chanel. Was it difficult to get existing, quote-unquote, archival? Did you have challenges getting those pieces, or did you have to do a lot of start from scratch with fabric and design?
No, it was very much looking at catwalks and fashion, you know, shows of each season during kind of 2006, 2007. I was very fortunate to work with such amazing fashion houses who were very generous. And we were, you know, if we could, we would take from 2006, 2007, we were able to loan from them. If we, you know, if not, we were getting as close as we could to those years. And it was an amazing opportunity to work with Janelle, who gave us, you know, loaned us dresses from 2007 for Poor Dear Pamela. And also, you know, Valentino, we had archive pieces. Also, Christopher Kane, we were able to, for Venetia. Asian Provocateur were very generous with Venetia. We had pieces that Amy Winehouse would have worn in that time. And, you know, they had an amazing collection of archive. So going through working with various houses, it was... They were very generous with wanting to work with us.
Two women I have to ask you about is, number one, Rosamund Pike's Elspeth, and, of course, Carey Mulligan's Poor Dear Pamela. Opposite ends of the spectrum, Elspeth has great elegance to her. She enters a room. She's tall. She's, like, floating as if she is on a catwalk somewhere. Then we have Poor Dear Pamela, and it looks like you really had fun at going with the more elegant, fashionable route with Elspeth versus Poor Dear Pamela, that just explodes in fashion on screen.
I think both those journeys were absolutely incredible, and so fortunate to have two characters in one film with such different styles. So Elspeth, I wanted to have this, you know, she's an ex-model, Rosamund's so, you know, beautiful and elegant, mm-hmm. but taking, having this bohemian element to her as well, this relaxed, you know, country, you know, she's in this country house, but she's not, there's no snobbery or uptightness within her clothing. I definitely wanted to make her look relaxed and at ease. So, you know, using, you know, various, you know, vintage Ozzie Clark, vintage kimonos, being able to take, you know, Valentino, Jenny Packham's beautiful dresses, and, you know, always have this sense of elegance. But then with Poor Dear Pamela, again, using incredible fashion brands, but just heightening everything and taking it to the extreme. And also the monotone colour palette as well with Poor Dear Pamela kind of gives her a bit more structure and kind of, and also quite angular, interesting designs, really, that we styled her in.
Mm-hmm. The costumes for Elspeth, I mean, those, what you chose for the fashion, there's a great liquidity to it and fluidity with every piece that you selected for Rosamund to wear. And she wears all of them so beautifully. It's like she's floating. And I just thought that was so beautifully done.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. In the, you know, I feel that often when I'm choosing, you know, fabrics or clothing as a costume designer, I like to use the fabrics to emphasize the feeling or the, you know, the relaxness or uptightness of someone. So that gives them an air of grace as well.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting is what you did for Richard E. Grant as Sir James. He basically is the dark wood of the house.
Yeah.
And I love how you just follow through that color palette of the dark woods into his clothes, but also the old moneyed, stuffy nature of them, with the vests and the jackets. And it's a very interesting contrast to what Elspeth wears, what poor dear Pamela wears, and of course, what Felix wears, who just has, we're talking carefree ease in his clothes. He is so comfortable in everything. And it's very striking how you utilized the fashion to tell this story of this family.
I think, you know, there's very much old money in how I wanted to perceive James.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much, you know, shopping in Piccadilly, London, you know, the country. There's you know, he says a line that it's hotter than Barbados, but he's wearing corduroy trousers.
Yes.
You know, it's so utterly ridiculous. But there's comedy in that, and people are from, you know, this, you know, this upper class society, and, you know, the traditions are so traditional that even, you know, it's on a boiling hot day and that he's still wearing these cords rather than wearing a pair of shorts, because that just wouldn't be the done thing. So that's kind of, you know, I use costume in that essence to really get some understanding of characters. And with both Elspeth and Felix, in the nature of their relaxed clothes, I wanted to mirror one another. I really wanted you to be able to see Felix in his mother in him.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to kind of portray that and give them this link of, you know, this absolute ease of also, you know, they're so wealthy. They can fit into society so easily because they don't really have a care in the world, because their cares are like no others, you know, and I think that's quite important to portray.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, what I love with the journey of Oliver, that is the one journey that we also see a color transformation. He starts out in the fresh press, still with the creases that he didn't bother to iron after taking it out of the bag, white shirt, blue blazer, and he's very bland. His non-uniform colors are more greens and grays, but once he gets into Felix's house, we really start to see a color shift in Oliver. And that's the only character I really noticed that color tone shifting. And I'm curious about how you approach that to tell Oliver's story.
I feel that Oliver's the only character that the color palette changes in, because he's the only character changing. Everyone else is so comfortable in their own skin and their own, you know, in their own character, that when we initially see Oliver arrive at university, he's firstly dressed in the blazer, the scarf, the tie. You know, he's bought them for that, you know, for his first day, thinking that he's entering this new world where everyone's going to be smart and, you know, everyone's in their pajamas and juicy couture and Ugg boots and very relaxed. And that's the first kind of distinction that we see, that he's got this idea of how this new world's going to be and what money holds, and it doesn't actually. So we then go back into his clothes, and they're very murky. There's greens, there's greys, you know, there's uptight, is, you know, his shirts are done up, his, you know, his leather tight belts and, you know, his chinos. It's very neat. And, you know, I wanted him to sit in the background. It was something Emerald and I very much wanted him to, you know, not be distinctive. And then as he becomes part of the gang at university, the blues enter in, and also the costumes change, the polo shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the hoodie in the library. There's a relaxedness to him. He goes into jeans. He starts wearing, trainers. There's this journey that he is becoming part of the tribe, which is what he wants. But also at the same time, there's never a label to be seen. You know, there's no logo on the chest, you know, in comparison to the Ralph Lauren and the Tommy Hilfiger and the Gant and the Abercrombie and Fitch. He's very much non-labeled, and that was very much what it was. He could not afford the labels that everyone else is wearing. So it was very much the, you know, the plain of the plainer high street versions, as we would say in the UK. So and then having the blue tones, colour was really is really important to myself and also to Emerald, and it was really lovely to be able to collaborate with her on this. And tonally, you know, some decisions were made on the day. Would Oliver be in a lighter grey t-shirt or a dark navy, just to be able to set the tone of the scene? So that was very much a journey that we were, you know, on constantly to make sure colour, as with Linus, the DOP, that we were capturing the emotion of the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Just so beautifully done. And of course, everything leads up to the climactic Midsummer Night's Dream themed birthday party. All of that costuming at that party is just incredible. It is a feast for the eyes, Sophie. Particularly that suit that Oliver is in. My God, that embroidery on there is stunning. Was this an off the rack, or did this one you have to create?
So this is one of, you know, I designed this costume. We really wanted, you know, it was Midsummer Night's Dream, and it was taking elements from the, you know, from the play, but not wanting, you know, it's still a 2007 party, you know, it was so much fun. But looking at the changeling boy in the, you know, in Shakespeare's story, and being able to look at British folklores, and we came across an image of a suit that had lots of embroidery. It was folklore, and also looking at different leaves and the meaning of different leaves. So we came up with the concept of a floral of a suit, and then looking at acorns and then oak leaves, and often these are used in the military to represent power. So it was a really nice symbolism of where I felt that, well, the audience didn't know, but Oliver was at that point in his mind. So it was a great collaboration. My sister-in-law, Alice Canali, is an illustrator, and it was our first collaboration together, and she designed with all the illustrations of the acorns and flat leaves. And then, you know, tonally making sure with Linus that the white was the right white. We, you know, it was going to be a night shoot, so we wanted Oliver to stand out when we were shooting at night. And then, yeah, being able to create this, this great suit. And also, when he's going through the maze, knowing that he's on this journey around the party, looking at headdresses and settling with these amazing antlers, just to give him such a visual silhouette as we see him walking through the maze.
Mm-hmm. Stunning. And Linus does an amazing job shooting that maze sequence.
Oh, he's genius.
He's brilliant. By contrast, there's so many different costumes going on during that party. The spiderweb dress stands out. Felix is very simple. I really don't care anymore. Kind of thrown together look.
You got it.
How much fun, or how tiring was it to dress all of these people for this soiree?
Well, I have an incredible team, so you know, it's not single-handed. So it was great fun. You know, who doesn't love a fancy dress party in their life, and then you get to do it as a job. So no, it was a great experience, and also, you know, all the supporting artists had so much fun. So yeah, it's just a really lovely collaboration to also take elements of period costumes and contemporary costumes and bring them together. And you know, we use lights, and you know, we've got nipple tassels, and yeah, it was just really fun to be able to play around with such amazing fancy dress.
It was one of the most eclectic party collections I've seen in a long time. And it worked.
I do like a festival, so yeah, I think festivals, You know, the years at Glastonbury have paid off.
What would you say was the most challenging aspect of using and finding the costumes to tell this story for Saltburn?
I think the most challenging element of this is the period itself. It's not in the fashion houses, you know, it's not in the costume houses, it's not on the high street, it's not in charity shops, it's still in people's wardrobes or it's with the archives. So the amazing work of my team, it was time consuming to be able to pull, you know, all these elements together, from buying bootleg jeans from the back of people's wardrobes to the polo shirt. It was a huge, huge effort to be able to actually build a collection of 2000s costumes. And then also, I was so lucky to work with such generous fashion houses and be able to collect so many archived pieces. So, it's because it's not contemporary and it's period, but that was the challenge of this film.
Very quickly, I want to ask you about your background. You did a lot of costume buying earlier in your career. How beneficial was that for you coming into Saltburn?
It's incredibly beneficial. I think in every element of any job I do, I think that bread and butter for years has really lent my eye to detail. I also have such a huge understanding of the breadth of how to collect items or also, you know, fabrics. And I have a very particular eye in the sense of when, you know, for T-shirts, for instance, I had to have the ribbing right, you know, contemporary ribbing on a neckline that was not right. There's so many 90s pieces in the high street. So having a buying background and also having worked on contemporary films or, you know, modern day films in the past and working with such an eclectic group of designers also has given me an amazing experience to understand how many designers work, and that has now lent to my own career as a designer.
I can't wait to see what you do next, Sophie. Your work here in Saltburn is just absolutely magnificent. And I look forward to chatting with you one day about a film where you actually go out and you find the fabrications and the notions and you design it from the ground up. Because you do
have... I'm in 1918 at the moment, so...
Well, I cannot wait, and I hope we get to chat again in the future.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sophie, and have a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You take care.